Det här är Fighterpodden.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are...
I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Touch to ups. Get ready for war.
Uchimata!
And ladies and gentlemen, the mauler, Alexander Gustafsson.
Oh, my God.
Double leg. He just got double leg.
I'm gonna show you how great I am.
So first of all, I just wanted to ask you, before I ask you about your career as such and how you got to where you are, I was recently reading Joyce Carol Oates's On Boxing, where she describes writing about boxing as being one of the most difficult things you can write about because it's so primal and we all seem to have this drive to want to watch a fight. Like Dana White says, if there's four corners and people are playing football in one corner, all this sort of thing, a fight breaks out, everyone wants to watch it. And how, as a writer, do you put that into words? It's sort of something that writers have struggled with. And now that MMA has risen and basically taken the spot of boxing, what do you think about writing about MMA? What's the main challenge? Yeah, how do you think about writing about MMA?
I would kind of disagree that writing is difficult to write about, because I think because it's so primal and because it's so real and people can relate to it, in a sense, people can't relate to like getting punched in the face and being okay with it and continuing to do it, but they can relate to like a sense of like danger and I feel like writing is actually easier to write about because for the most part, when you talk to these athletes about fighting, you get better information. I think it takes a certain kind of person sometimes like you ask somebody, why do you play basketball? Why do you play baseball? Why do you play football? It's like the kind of answer is like, I love it and I'm good at it. You know, fighting, you can get a whole lot of different answers. And that can create a great story of like, why do you fight? You know, what is drawn you to this, like this art? What is like, what kind of emotions are you trying to get out, you know, through fighting? I just think fighting is more interesting in terms of a subject to write about than other sports. Like I love other sports. I'm a big other sports fan, but in terms of covering it and writing about it, like, no, I actually think it's one of the easier ones because it's so raw, because it's so emotional, because it's because you're so vulnerable when you do it, you know, and the consequences can be severe. And like, there's no hiding. There's no lying about fighting. You know, that's another thing that they say about this sport. Like, yeah, I just think the stakes are so high when you're getting in a fight because your physical well-being is on the line. So I think there's a lot of different aspects that make fighting just so much more compelling to write about than any other sport that I don't see the challenge that she was referring to. I kind of think it's the opposite. I think this one's like the easiest one to write about.
Now, how did you get to this point of writing about MMA? Have you always been interested in martial arts?
No. I knew that I wanted to be a sports writer when I was probably like in fifth grade. I just knew that I liked to write, and I knew that I loved sports, and I knew that I kind of wanted to be around people trying to do great things. You know, like I just liked that drive. I liked people with work ethic. It like inspired me. I admired it. So I just knew I wanted to be a sports writer, and I figured I'd be writing about football, baseball, basketball, you know, the typical American sports. And my first job out of college was at a newspaper in Las Vegas, and I was, you know, 22, 23, and they just stuck me on, you know, high school sports. I was going to like, you know, 18-year-olds basketball games, but living in Vegas, Vegas is a big happening town that has a lot of different things come through. And so every now and then I would get opportunities to cover different cool stuff. And I got onto boxing. I covered some boxing matches, and then that was right around the time UFC 100 was happening. So when UFC 100 happened and it was a big deal, and Brock Lesnar and George St. Pierre and Michael Bisping and Dan Henderson, like they needed help. They were like, oh, this is a big deal in Vegas, you know? And so they put me on it, and they liked what I did with it. And so then they asked me, the newspaper asked me, do you just want to cover MMA full time instead of you know, kind of covering a bunch of different things. And I was like, of course, man, I want that beat, you know? But I didn't know a thing about martial arts at the time. When I started covering it, I knew exactly this. I had no idea. I didn't know like the rules. I didn't know any of the people involved. So then I just like really started studying it and went back and watched all the old fights. So this was like 2009. Like, I mean, I started going back and watching all of, like, I remember, dude, that like my job was I would be sitting in my cubicle at the newspaper and I would just be watching DVDs. And people would be like, are you working or are you just watching stuff? I'm like, no, this is work for me. Like, I need to know what I'm talking about. So I would just watch all the old fights, all the old Ultimate Fighters. And then the newspaper was committed to it. They started sending me on the road. Like they paid for me to be in like Portland when Randy Couture fought Big Nog. And then they paid for me to be in Philadelphia when Anderson fought Forrest Griffin. And pretty shortly after that, ESPN decided that they wanted to cover the sport and they saw that I was actually covering it from a full-time perspective, and so they offered me a job, and I've been at ESPN since.
Has this following of the sport also inspired you to take it up yourself? Do you practice any martial arts?
No. I've taken like some boxing classes, but I like to do other stuff, you know, like up until recently, it's kind of getting tougher now because I'm 37 and my friends are getting older and we're having kids and getting out of shape, you know. But I played basketball, I played softball, I like to go to the gym, you know. So I had my own sort of exercise kind of thing. I'm a big runner. I like to run. So I just not enough hours in the day to do it all. And I just figured if I tried jujitsu, I'd probably really like it. And so then I'd want to get into it more and more. And then I'd have to quit some of the other stuff that I do. So no, I actually really have not trained any of it.
What do you think is the best thing about MMA? Is there something that during your career you've thought, I get it now. This is what fascinates people about it.
I think the most accurate answer is probably knockouts. I mean, I think it's that simple. I think it's knowing that someone can just bang, do something crazy, and the other person is just rendered defenseless. I think that's probably the biggest appeal. I think if people are being honest, that was always the biggest appeal of boxing too, you know? But then when you go a step further, I do think it's just like what these guys are putting on the line, you know, and there's that understanding that that they're really making themselves vulnerable and there's a lot at stake, you know, like people like to watch stuff that they feel like really matters to both sides. You know, it's not like you're watching a baseball game in the middle of June and it's like, oh, if one team loses, the other team wins, like it's not that big of a deal. You know, they got another one tomorrow. So I do think that like it feels big, especially obviously when a fight is big. But I think probably the easiest way to answer that question is knockouts.
What do you think about Swedish MMA fans and also Swedish MMA fighters? Why, in such a small country, does talent seem to be breeding?
I think because they know that they want to catch up. You know, I think that anytime, you know, it's when you see somebody else doing better than you, and you know you got to catch up. You know, so I feel like there is sort of this kind of commitment to, hey, for us to reach the level that some others are, we're gonna have to work twice as hard, you know. I think that like that it's happening in like Mexico, you see it too, and that now they're doing it, you know, like the Mexico has had this big evolution. And I got that sense in Sweden. Like, I'm not just saying it. Like, when I went to All Stars and I was around, you know, like that, like Andreas and the way that they run their practices, and like there's no like sort of glamour to it, you know. Like, you go to American Top Team, and don't get me wrong, American Top Team's phenomenal team, but it's like and they're grimy and they get down to business, and that's why they win fights. But there is sort of like, you're American Top Team, you know, you kind of made it already. And it's like, when you're an All-Stars, you're like you're here to like bust yourself up, you know? And I think that that's because they feel like we have something to prove, you know? So, and I think that, Alex kind of, was like carried that torch, you know, but it's still like there's still work to be done on it. You know, it's like they still feel like they need to prove themselves.
Following on from that, when you are with these athletes, they're obviously, many of them at least, are huge personalities as well. And there's a big business side to the sport as well. What do you think are, is that a challenge when you're talking to someone? Do you, because I get the feeling sometimes when we're in the press room, for example, in here in London, in the UFC, and you see all these fighters and you're having a great chat with them, and then they stand on the stage and they are a completely different person. And they say, no, it's not true. I am this person. But I think, could it possibly be that it's just, they have that drive that they have the ability to be that person when they have to be, whereas many of us perhaps don't.
I mean, I just think it's human nature. And like, I don't know if I'm answering your question correctly, but I'm very lucky that I get to sometimes go and see them away from everybody else, you know, and they go up and sit on a stage. It just kind of, I think it's just inevitable that it puts you in a different sort of mood. You know, like if you walk up and you are the only one sitting at that stage and you have a microphone and the premise is to like, there's going to be 15 different people ask you a question. I think your brain just kind of goes into a certain mode, you know, and like, I'm just very, very lucky. And I'm not naive to that. I'm very lucky and fortunate that I get to go to like their homes, you know, and then that's when I see the real them. And I don't know if I answered your question, but it's just like, I do think it's just kind of an inevitable thing. It's just an inevitable thing about like sports media in general, is that like, if you go and sit at a podium, you tend to word things differently, you know? And sometimes in the UFC, you get people that are able to not do that and still be themselves. And that's usually when you get the best material, you know, like if you go back and look at Conor just being Conor at certain press conferences, like that's what made him famous. But yeah, I think that it's just like kind of a human nature to, if you're in that kind of situation, you're going to modify yourself a little bit because you know that people are watching you.
So. My final question is, what are you most excited about this year, this coming year, which fights, for example?
I mean, I am very excited about Alexander Volkanovski and Yair. I would say that is number one, legitimately, like more so than John and Stipe, you know, if and when that happens, more than Connor and Chandler, you know, far more. I mean, I would love to see Khamzat. Like, Khamzat was just like this such a special thing. Like, when we watch fights every weekend, obviously it's great. And the fights are like, I mean, man, if I even just think over the last like year, the fights really have been pretty tremendous. I mean, Izzy's win over Alex was one of the most memorable things I've ever seen. And then like, you think about like Leon's knockout of Kamaru was one of the most memorable things I've ever seen. And we've gotten that within like a span of a year. And that's like not recency bias. Like you think about the long history of his sport, it's like, dude, those are two moments that are high on the list of like, wow, that was one of the most incredible things I've seen. It's still like, it can kind of blur together sometimes, you know, when there's so many fights. Like Khamzat stood out so much. Like Khamzat's just like, I have so many questions and intrigue about Khamzat. So I would love to see Khamzat fight Kamaru. That was always my favorite fight. It'd be cool to see him fight Paulo Costa too, but I would love to see him fight Kamaru. That would be my number one choice. But whatever Khamzat does, I'm excited to see Khamzat. Khamzat and Yair and Alex are kind of at the very top for me right now.
Yeah, I think it remains to see Khamzat really tested, because I remember, I now live in London, but when I lived in Stockholm a few years ago, I'd go quite often to All Stars and just see them training and talk to them. And he would be as fresh at the end as he was when he started.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen that before with any of the others.
He's an amazing guy, man. Mm-hmm. And I remember every time I talked to like Majdi and Andreas about Khamzat, mm-hmm. is they would just always say like, well, there's more that goes into being really successful in this sport than just talent, though. You know, there's so many outside factors. And I think with Khamzat, if you sort of are aware of him as a person and then like, you know, kind of his background, I mean, that came across very strongly, is that these guys were worried. It's just like, I hope he stays on track. I hope he stays on track and reaches his potential. And right now, like, it's still very, very, you don't know if that's going to happen or not. So Yeah, I find him super, super fascinating. I think he's got the highest ceiling of anybody in the sport right now. You know, it's just, it's like, okay, what's going to happen with it? Like, is he going to realize it? What's that going to look like? So yeah, I would like to see him, fight in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. Well, that's all I had. Is there anything you would like to add about your career? Highlight something that you, a message you would like to leave fight fans?
I don't think so, man. I mean, I just general thoughts on my career. I feel very, very lucky. I feel very lucky, you know, and that's not like lost on me. I feel like I work for a great company and I live right here in Vegas and I've had the chance to do this for a living. This is like the only sport I cover, you know, and it is the best sport to cover. People ask me sometimes because they know I'm a fan of other sports. Like, would you want to cover another sport? And I would not, because athletes in other sports like don't have to sell themselves. They just, it's strictly performance based. Like, if you're a good soccer player, if you're, you know, in English Premier League, you're gonna get paid. It doesn't matter if you're boring as hell outside of it, you know. But fighters have to put themselves out there, and they have to give good answers in interviews. And like, for me, doing my job, that makes it so satisfying, you know, that you can actually have real conversations with these guys. So I love doing this.
Great. Thank you very much. And hope to see you in London soon, or maybe the United States.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be great. Let me know if you head over here.
Great. Will do.
Fighterpodden produceras av Suba Media för Radio Play.